And we are participating in the Taper and Match trials. The Taper trial is run by ASCO, and the Match is an NIH effort that is sort of tumor agnostic, but based on specific biomarkers, patients can be enrolled on sort of targeted treatments. And there is an FGFR alteration cohort in both Taper and Match. And the drug that is being evaluated is actually a drug that now is approved for bladder cancer, which is adrafitinib, which inhibits all four FGFR receptors. And we did consider that trial. The patient was not interested. I see him at a satellite office. He really didn't want to come to the main center, was happy with just receiving, at that point, chemotherapy. So he got gemcitabine, but after one cycle was very exhausted. And at that point, he himself brought up the idea that he would like to just focus on comfort care and did not want to pursue further treatment. He felt he had a good life and so really was not interested in pursuing further treatment. I think at that point, if he was interested, I could have considered afatinib or reevaluated the possibility of enrolling him on the trial that would have enabled him to get the FGFR inhibitor to see if it is beneficial. One of the reasons I was a little reluctant about the FGFR trial is that the data we have up till now with other FGFR drugs is somewhat disappointing. So FGFR, in fact, recently in the LungMap study, there was a report by Dr. Agarwal and colleagues of an FGFR inhibitor, and the response rate was only about 5%. So only about 2 of some 35 patients or so had a response. And that is felt to be because even though FGFR may be a driver in these patients, these tumors are genomically so altered that they have other pathways that are also driving the tumor. And in fact, there's a very nice paper in Cancer Discovery by Paul Pike and colleagues from Memorial Sloan Kettering that showed that at least 20 to 25% of FGFR altered squamous cell lung cancer also have PI3 kinase alterations. And so it is possible that these tumors have an easier time, so to say, to, you know, if you block one pathway, immediately sort of switch their dependency to a different pathway or have an escape pathway that allows the tumor to start growing very, very quickly.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think the hope with these kind of basket trials is that things would sort of fall into place, I don't know, like MSI, where you're going to have one marker regardless of disease. Obviously, that doesn't always happen. BRAF's a good example. It works in lung and melanoma, but at least not the same approach with colon. You know, it's interesting how, you know, that model that you find an alteration and then you target it regardless of what the tumor doesn't always work out. We were doing a seminar on bladder cancer, then it sounds like they see really good responses there.
Yeah. So I think the tumor context matters with these alterations. I think the latest example is the G12C inhibitors, particularly AMG-510, shows very promising activity in non-small cell lung cancer with G12C inhibitor, but may not be the same activity in colon cancer with G12C inhibitor. I also wonder whether it has to do with the cause of that mutation occurring. So a KRAS mutation is very heavily linked to smoking history, particularly even among KRAS G12C, whereas, of course, in colon cancer, G12C mutation are not necessarily linked to smoking etiology. And so I wonder whether that plays a role. I think what is relevant, though, is like in BRAF, V600E, colon cancer, yes, the inhibiting the pathway helps, but maybe you have to add other molecules, as has been done recently with encorafenib and binimetinib with cetuximab, that when you add another pathway inhibitor to prevent the escape that may occur in certain tumor types but not in others, you will see benefit. So I think pursuing these strategies is going to be important, but I think the tumor context matters.